interesting times that we're all living through, and a lot of people are feeling stress on new levels that they never did before. And I brought along a devotional book that it's called Refresh, Devotions for 31 Days. I wrote this a few years ago for people who are under a lot of stress. So if you would like a copy, I brought five copies along, and you can just e-transfer the church. If you would like a copy, the proceeds go to our ministry, Refresh Ministries, which gives soul care for ministry leaders. And you can just e-transfer the church. Their cost is $20, and I think you will find encouragement there. Well, I encourage you to be much in prayer in your daily life, to be strong. So much is afoot in our world right now. A lot of big changes going on, and it's a little bit difficult to believe that things like this are happening in our world. So be strong, stay strong, make yourself strong in the Lord. So what I want to talk to you about today is my message is called 100 Hungry Men from 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 and down to verse 44. But the whole theme is dealing with this issue. When your responsibilities are greater than your resources. How do you respond when your responsibilities are greater than your resources? And I'm going to invite you to read with me. I'm going to actually start back in verse 38 of 2 Kings chapter 4. It just helps give some of the context there. And then we will focus on that second story. So really, we have two stories here, and it starts in verse 38. Elisha turned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in that region. While the company of the prophets was meeting with him, he said to his servant, "Put on a large pot and cook some stew for these prophets." One of them went out into the fields to gather herbs and found a wild vine and picked as many of its gourds as his garment would hold. When he returned, he cut them into a pot of stew, though no one knew what they were. The stew was poured out for the men, and as they began to eat it, they cried out, "Man of God, there is death in the pot," and they could not eat it. Elisha said, "Get some flour, put it in the pot, serve it to the people to eat." And there was nothing harmful in the pot. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from his first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said. "How can I set this before 100 men?" his servant asked. But Elisha answered, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says, they will eat and have some left over." Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, I ask for your spirit to guide me. I ask for your spirit to speak to our hearts according to our need. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A while back, I met a person for coffee at Tim Hortons. And the context was this man had been in business for many years. But he had always had a desire to serve in a ministry of some kind. And as I sat and looked at him across the table in Tim Hortons, he looked absolutely exhausted, just drained. And I said, "How is it going with this ministry you're working in?" And he said, "It's so exhausting." He said, 40 hours of this, working with people, is taking more out of me than 80 hours when I was a man in business. And what it was is that he had to learn new resources to handle the new responsibilities. But at that point in time, he was finding that his responsibilities were greater than the resources that he had. And some of you may be feeling that as you look at 2021. You may have a family budget that's needs to be up here, but your resources are down here. You may have leadership responsibilities that are up here, but your resources seem like they're down here. Are you feeling the weight of responsibility? Well, what the context is that Elisha was the leader of the School of the Prophets, basically almost like we would think of a Bible college, and it seems to indicate that he had about 100 guys there. And if you read the whole story of Elisha, that some of them were married and had families to support and so on. So you have these people, these 100 men, and there's also a famine at this time. Most commentators believe these two stories are kind of tied together in terms of time. And the first one talks about a famine. So the first one, really, Elisha performs a miracle of quality as he makes the food better. But this is a message, this second one is about quantity. And so we have Elisha. He has responsibility for 100 men and their families, likely. But he has food for almost nothing. And so his responsibilities are greater than his resources. Well, what do you do when your responsibilities outweigh your resources? And I'm just going to bring a few insights from this story. And the first one is this. Be alert for signs of God at work. Be alert for signs of God at work. It says, now a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. So Elisha has these responsibilities and very little resources, and out of the blue comes this farmer with 20 loaves of barley. I've never had a barley loaf. Have any of you eaten barley in bread? It's usually wheat that we eat, but that's what they ate. Actually, you see in the New Testament, that's what that young lad, the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he had barley loaves. So anyway, this farmer shows up out of the blue and brings him this offering. Now, it's interesting to me that this was an unusual farmer, first of all, because of the place he came from. He came from Baal Shalisha. Baal Shalisha, what does that tell us? Well, it would be like saying Baal Fairview. Baal was the god of that time, and towns were given over to that god, to worship that god. And so if it was in our time, we would say Baal Fairview. In other words, Fairview is given over to the worship of the god. So you have a man who is honoring the true god coming from a town that has given itself to the false god. A little unusual. I'm sure some of his farmer friends had probably given their offerings to the local god. But this is something out of order. Something out of order. You have a man coming from a place that's given to pagan gods, and he's coming to give an offering to the true God. Something's out of place. Well, by the way, Baal means owner, the one who is Lord. So this man's coming from a place that says, we're under the lordship of Baal, and he's breaking that lordship and coming to the man of God. His gift indicated that God was at work. He was honoring God with his first fruits. He was a worshiper of God from a pagan town, and he was giving sacrificially, I would say. If 20 loaves was a tenth of his harvest, he really did not have the resources to feed his family or himself and his family for a whole year. He was giving sacrificially. So this was an unusual man coming from an unusual place with a very sacrificial offering. By the way, the context of 2 Kings, there is this battle of the gods going on. By the way, I think that's what's happening south of the border. There's a transition from one god to other gods that's going on. That's why we have this horrendous clash going on. But there was a battle of the gods going on in Israel. Elijah had stood down the prophets of Baal, and now Elisha was battling in his own way. But one insight I want to leave with you, we can battle for the true God by how we use our money. This man stood up and gave an offering to the leader of the true religion, or to the true faith, and he stood in the gap in that battle with how he used his money. But Elisha perceived that this man was unique. There was something different going on. There was an unusual man from an unusual place giving an unusual offering. God must be at work. I want to say, if you're feeling the pressure of responsibility and it's greater than your resources, don't let that pressure blind you to God's activity. Keep your eyes open as you feel the weight. If you look through Scripture, often it's these little signs that actually point that God is at work. Mary at the tomb, when Peter and John ran to the tomb, they noticed that things were out of order in the tomb and pointed to the resurrection. And so there are signs that show us that God is at work. So Elisha is feeling these responsibilities. He has very little resources, but he perceives God is up to something. We have this farmer coming from an unusual place with a very sacrificial offering. God is at work. So keep your mind open. Be alert for signs of God's work. Second insight, small indicators point to more of what God wants to do. Small indicators point to more of what God wants to do. This is where I have this little illustration. You know what happens in life is that when the pressures come upon us and they're greater than our resources, we start to ask the question, where is God? Why doesn't he show up? I'm here all alone. I got these responsibilities. I got these resources, and I don't see God at work anywhere. Well, I want to alert you to the idea that small indicators point to more of what God wants to do. Now, my mom was a great gardener. And when she started gardening, my mom is still alive. She's living in a senior's home now. But when she was still gardening, when she came to the end of her gardening career, she gave me a little jar, a little pill bottle. And at the bottom of that pill bottle were a number of seeds. And they were tomato seeds because she was well known in our family for the great tomatoes she grew. And she gave me this little jar full of seeds. And last summer I planted some of them and got all kinds of tomatoes. But I want to just illustrate that. This isn't a tomato from the plant she gave me, but this is what happens. You get a tomato, and actually you can get many, many tomatoes. Now, you won't be able to see this. I've got two seeds there. Tiny, tiny, tiny. It's the way God works most of the time in our world. He takes something small, and he makes something big. And a lot of times we think, where is God? Where's God? All I could see is this tiny little resource that he's given me, and I've got all these responsibilities. But this story shows that you can be given something small, and God can make it into something big. The small gift revealed God's heart and intentions. This man came with 20 loaves of bread, and Elisha had 100 guys to feed. There was no way he was going to do it. But God was going to take something small and make it something big. Now, if you look through this scripture, you will see that small things are often a sign of big things to come. Elisha saw this in the life of Elijah. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel and he was praying for the rain to come, and he prayed once and it didn't happen, prayed twice and it didn't happen, prayed three times it didn't happen, prayed four times. It was on the seventh time he sent his servant to look, and the servant said, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah said, run, because it's going to be a torrential downpour. He understood that God took something small and made something big. When you see that your resources are too small for your responsibilities, remember that God can take something small and make something big. One year, I was very troubled that our church and myself personally weren't seeing people come to Christ. And so I started the year off with prayer and fasting, asking God to move. And one night God moved me to, and I think I may have told that story, to go to a house in our neighborhood and just say, would you like to know how to know that you could go to heaven? And that person that responded became many more. That year, I personally had the chance to lead six people to personal relationship with Christ. Through our church and youth group mission efforts, beyond us, camp ministry, there was about 150 people that actually opened their heart to Christ that year. That little event was the seed of something big. I felt this weight of responsibility. We need to bring people to Christ. We need to see people come to Christ. And God gave me that little experience, and it became something big. Well, this moved Elisha to generous sharing. Give it to the people to eat, he said. When we perceive the small is leading to something big, we can be generous. This gift was not an end in itself. It was likely just intended for Elisha, but he said, we're going to make it into something bigger. So I want to say, in your responsibilities that God has given you, have you seen small provisions? Have you seen small provisions? Understand, it reveals God's heart to turn something small into something big. Third insight I'd like to say is be resolved to take steps of faith. Well, Elisha, seeing what God was up to, says to his servant, send this before 100 men, all the men, get them together, get them at the table, and set out the food. And his servant says, how can I set this before 100 men? His servant asked, but Elisha said, give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over. Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. Be resolved to take steps of faith. When we see God on the move, when we perceive that he's giving us small things that actually are an indication of more of what he wants to do, there will be steps of faith to take. Now, this is where it gets tough, because we have to think about, yeah, is God behind that? Well, Elijah had the assurance the Lord was in it, and we will look for that assurance. But there will always be resistance. His servant said, this is crazy. I've got food for 20, and you want me to feed 100? Have any of you catered? My wife has catered for many years, and I helped her many years. We've catered a lot of weddings and so on. And our worst tragedy, it would be to run out of food. You do not want to run out of food when you're catering. And here the servant is saying, we are going to run out of food. And it was resistance to this step of faith, what Elisha thought they would have them do. He didn't want to be embarrassed. He didn't want to be rude. I remember one wedding, we ran out of potato wedges. I saw the first few big guys coming through the line, and they were just piling their plate, and I said, we're in trouble, and we were. Good thing we had a lot of other things, but we felt terrible about that. He didn't want to be in that. He wanted to have sufficient food. But there's always resistance. Do you know in the New Testament when Jesus was going to feed the 5,000? It says in John 6:7, Philip answered him, 8 months' wages could not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up and said, here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. How far will that go among so many? There was a resistance even to when Jesus was about to provide. And when we take steps of faith, there will be an inner resistance. Something voices in our head will say, that's crazy. Or maybe other people arguing with us. But there will be resistance. So there's a friend of mine who is in business. And there was a fundraiser going on for a church plant. And they were asking businessmen to donate. And he thought, I think I'm going to give 10,000, which was a very generous offering. I'm going to give 10,000. But he sensed the Spirit of God saying, I want you to give 40. And there was an inner resistance, an inner resistance to that step of faith. And then the Lord reminded him, you just had a deal where you made about that much. That wasn't just for you. But he had to overcome that resistance. So overcome the resistance and then stick with the word of the Lord. When you are convinced that the Lord is moving in a direction, stick with it. This is what the Lord says, Elisha said. There will be food and there will be some left over. And so in obedience, they did it and there was food and enough left over. By the way, when was the food multiplied? I want to ask, when was the food multiplied? It was in the step of obedience. It wasn't before. It wasn't before. I don't think the servant saw, well, there's all of a sudden a food for 100. Isn't that great? No, it was as he put out the food, they started to eat. Then it was multiplied. And then there was some left over. They ate and had some left over. Same with the feeding of 5,000 with those 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. They had 12 baskets of leftovers, Matthew 14:20. But the point I want to make, kind of closing this, is it brought great glory to God. I want to take you back again to the context. We have a famine. In a famine, there's always shortage of food. And then we have the spiritual contest that's going on. We have Baal against Jehovah. And Baal has taken over culture, so much so that they're naming towns after him. We haven't got to that place yet in our world. But then you have these men who have given themselves to hear the word of the Lord. There's the school of the prophets. And I just imagine the people of the culture making fun of them, oppressing them. But here now, these guys could say, our God took a few loaves of bread and fed 100 people, and there was leftovers. What can your God do? Great glory was brought to God through this. And part of God's purpose for your lack of resources to face your responsibilities may well be to bring great glory to him and to be a testimony in your culture. Just think what these guys could say. You want to have a contest? Look what our God did. Refresh Ministries, we've been going 12, 13 years now, and most every year. At the start of the year, I look at what our responsibilities are for the year, and then I look at my resources. Responsibilities, resources. And every year, I've had to take a step of faith and say, I'm going to move forward and trust God to act. And year one went by, he acted. Year two went by, I remember talking to a person, they were in a ministry that had gone on for a long time, and I said, man, I'm just shocked the Lord's kept me going this long, year two. Year three went by. Year four went by. Year five went by. Year after year, I look at my year. I've got resources like this and responsibilities like this. Year after year after year, God turns the small into the big. When your responsibility is greater than your resources, listen for what God wants you to do. Look for those small things and act in faith because he takes a little and makes it a lot. The story is told about Charles Spurgeon, who many of you heard. Of course, he had a ministry, not only a phenomenal preaching ministry, but he had a ministry to orphans. And he went on, he left London and went to Bristol, England, to go on a speaking tour, but also to raise funds. Primarily, that was his purpose, to raise funds for his orphans. He wanted to raise £300, British pounds at that time, which was a lot of money. And so he went on the speaking tour, and the Lord provided the £300. But as he was about to go home, he sensed this God thing happening inside. He said, go to George Mueller, who was paying for 2,000 orphans, and give him the £300. And Spurgeon said, I've been raising this money for my orphans. Why should I give it to them? Anyway, the Lord prevailed, and he went to see Mueller, and Mueller said, I've been praying for £300. So he gave him the money, and he headed back home empty-handed. But he found when he opened his mail at home, there was more than £300 provided. He did what God wanted him to do, what God said, and God took it and multiplied it. I want to ask, where are you in this story? Where are you in this story? We have a variety of characters here. We have the hungry prophets, faithful to God, but wondering where their food is coming from. I just want to say, remember that God sees and can supernaturally provide. So don't worry what to eat and what to drink, what to wear. For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them, but seek first his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. Maybe you're like the farmer of Baal Shalisha. You're living in a culture that is given to other gods. You can join the battle by how you use your money. Have you ever thought of that? How you use your money is part of a spiritual warfare? It is. His gift brought great glory to God, great encouragement to his servants, and gave them a testimony to say, look at our God. Maybe you're like Elisha's servant. I tend to be like Elisha's servant, who says, this is all we have, and you want me to do this? He was living by sight, not by faith. All this supernatural provision was great in theory, but in practical sense, it was nonsense. Let me ask you, are there places where you're limiting the work of God? You're saying, I can't see it. Ask God for that perception and that faith. Then there's Elisha, able to hear the word of the Lord and act in faith. And some of you could stand up and testify when you've acted in faith and you want to do it again. I just encourage you, I think we're moving into a season. This is my thoughts. When I see the trends in our culture, the trends in society, the trends in the world, we're moving into a season where we're going to be standing up with things like this. Very practical times when God leads us to do things of faith. So build that character now. Build that listening now. So when your responsibility is greater than your resources, listen for what God wants you to do. Anyone here feeling the weight of responsibility? Is it beyond what your resources are? I encourage you to reflect on this story, because God is at work. Takes what is little and makes it big. God bless you.